You're tuning in to the Black Hollywood Live Network, featuring news, interviews, and commentary on all things Black Hollywood. Hollywood redefined. From Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is Black Hollywood Live,
The Beat. Featuring the week's roundup and commentary on music news.
Black Hollywood Live, Hollywood redefined.
You're listening to Black Hollywood Live.
And now, the host for Black Hollywood Live,
The Beat.
Hey guys, welcome to The Beat. It's your boy DJ Jesse Janity. I am here in studio. Oh, we're going to get a little jam right here. Yes, well, if you're wondering why we're playing the specific song, if you don't recognize his face, you definitely recognize his voice. So he is a radio host with an iconic voice. He has an amazing show that counts down all of the top R&B singles of the Billboard charts. We have the one, the only, Tyrone DuBois.
Oh, look how you said that. I love that. All I needed was just I'll do the applause.
That
was,
you needed
No, it was okay. The way you did that, I was like, poof. You just like poofed that out. I like that. That was good.
Thank you
that.
For coming. Tell us a little bit about the track that you wanted to play.
It's interesting. You know, it was so cool. You asked what track, you know, you wanted to hear when you wanted to come on the air. And I was like, well, you know, the reason why this one reminded me so much is because, you know, I do the unsung, you know, television shows. Mm-hmm. And I remembered that the guy that I spoke to when I first started the show, he said, well, you know, how do you know this? And he's telling me about different people who had million selling singles. And I told him, he was asking whether Sly and the Family Stone had a million selling song. And I said, no. And he said, well, that's impossible. He said, what about the Jackson 5? I said, they have one. I said, and he said, well, who was the biggest songs in the 70s? I said, look, let me just tell you right now. The first million selling single in American music history, Johnny Taylor, Disco Lady.
And y'all got to listen to it.
And you guys got to listen to it. Sad to say, my publicist and her daughter just had no idea who that was. She said she may know. I don't know. She might.
Did you know the song?
She's saying she knows. Just checking.
Well, again, thank you for coming.
I'm honored to be here. Thank you so much.
Your story is really motivating. It's inspirational, and I'm excited to talk about that. But before we get into it, I want to talk about some things that have been trending on Twitter this week.
Let's do it.
So last year, there was not one African-American artist that was on the Billboard Top 100 charts. Mind-blowing. But hopefully things will change this year, because Schoolboy Q just dropped his new album, Oxymoron, and it dropped at number one, selling, how much did it sell? 139,000 copies its first week, outselling both of his first two releases. So congratulations to him. That's on the number one in the top R&B hip-hop
right, yeah.
Category. So hopefully it'll be able to make its way over to the top. What is it, top 200?
The top 200. Here's what's amazing about, you know, music, particularly nowadays. In the old days, there were a bunch of groups. And now, you know, as time has progressed, people don't want to be in a group anymore. They want to be individuals. Mm-hmm. The problem is that with music, it changes from time to time. And now it's almost generationally changing now, to where people just want what they want for the moment. And people don't buy music anymore. You know, we get it from YouTube. We get it. And the Billboard scans are based upon what's sold. And the truth of the matter is, it's hard to see what's sold anymore, right? Because people basically get music for free. And so it's difficult.
Well, how do you feel about, like, with Schoolboy Q, Kid Cudi? They're, you know, more so hip-hop. Well, first of all, let me ask you that. How do you feel about the categories kind of mixing, and kind of we're in the state of, like, what is hip-hop? What's hip-pop? What is R&B, really? You know, we had Tank in a few weeks ago, and he was like, really think about it. What is R&B right now? Rihanna was nominated for an R&B category.
Yeah, what's interesting is that there is very few R&B singers anymore. You know, everything is not mixed based upon a category. It's all almost based basically on music now. And so with particularly someone like this, or Kid Cudi, or anyone at this moment, it's not even based upon the music. It's just based upon what are you selling and how many people you can get to a concert. You know, in the old, that's really what music is nowadays. Not the old school when, you know, you couldn't wait to go to concerts and do things. But what's sad about that is that it's all about individuality. you got three stars together, like when you mentioned Tank, and then you got Tyrese,
yep,
and you got
Genuine.
You know, and you got Genuine. You know, we had to put three people together to make some sense of a group.
Yep.
And, you know, that's because no, you can very seldom get four or five people to feel the same about music anymore. You know, that's the reason why groups are so hard to come by and a rarity.
Well, Day 26 is coming back out. How do you feel about them kind of trying to bring this boy band craze back?
Look, in the 90s, I mean, the boy band craze was huge. Mm-hmm. I mean, not only just with, you know, in the R&B groups, but I mean, even with groups that crossed over. I mean, the groups like NSYNC and the Backstreet Boys and all of those groups. So the 90s were a group or the decade of the last of any kind of R&B groups. The truth of the matter is there is no R&B groups anymore. There's no such thing as a current R&B group. So, you know, with Day 26, if they can really get it, look, good for them. I hope they can do it.
And with the kind of just, you know, you've studied music for so long. Do you see it ever coming back to that group mentality?
You know, ultimately, in the end, people like groups because they can relate to times of their lives. You know, mm-hmm. You can't relate to times of your lives when you hear rap music because it kind of comes and goes. It's like a flash in the pan. And nothing wrong with that. But ultimately, for groups to sustain themselves, it's usually an old school generation that will sustain that groups. And that's kind of hard to do nowadays. You're not going to be able to find them.
It is. And one thing that we've talked about here on The Beat is that individuality and just kind of trying to stray away from what everyone's putting out there. And, you know, shout out to Kid Cudi. He pulled a Beyonce with his new album. It's called Kid Cudi Presents Satellite, Man on the Moon. And he dropped in second place on the R&B charts because Schoolboy Q beat him out. So you didn't get your fourth consecutive number one album.
Yeah.
But that's okay because the album, to me, is awesome. And, you know, a lot of people are crapping on it and saying, like, you know, he keeps producing the same thing. I'm like, he's an artist.
Yeah. I mean, staying power is the most important part of being a performer, whether you're an entertainer or whether you're a singer or any of those things. If you can stay and you can sustain yourself, even if you reinvent yourself, how many times did Madonna reinvent herself for the last 20 years? I mean, she did it. And so, look, if he can make it work, good for him. We shouldn't knock anybody who's willing to do what we want. So good for him.
And for you guys at home, he has songs on there that without lyrics, I mean, it's just something different.
Just space.
Yes.
Just space.
It is. I mean, you know, it might be for y'all smokers and tokers out there. That's fine, too.
All of you smoking the, as my grandmother used to say, the hippie lettuce, whatever that was.
The hippie lettuce thing.
I don't know, I had no idea what that was.
All right. So moving from, you know, musical beef to actual beef, 50 Cent.
It just never ends.
I just, you know,
are they kissing each other?
Well, so 50 Cent released this Instagram video, text, tweet, or whatever the things, posts are called. And it's a clip of Diddy. He was going to give Rick Ross a hug, but in motion, a camera caught it and made it look like they were kissing.
Looks like there's some tongue action going on there.
It does look a little suspect. And then next to it, we have Diddy with his manager. What is his name? Steve Stout.
Yeah, Steve Stout.
And 50's kind of just, he posted these out and all he said is, you know, I'm not saying nothing, but something ain't right.
Well, that's what they mean by a picture being 1,000 words. That's about 2,000 words right there. I mean, you know, I could divide that up into all kind of issues there.
Sure, Star Magazine would have a field day.
Yes, indeed. Particularly with that lip locking going on over there.
Yeah.
It's really, really unique. That's the last thing I need. The last thing I need to see is this guy on the red carpet. And he said, I don't need that. So I'll just pass on that. And good luck to whatever's going on over there.
There you guys go. You know, equal opportunity.
Equal opportunity. Absolutely it is. Yes, it is.
The thing with 50 is we've seen this in 50's past. Ja Rule, I mean, he demolished this guy's career starting these beef situations. Now, Rick Ross went on The Breakfast Club the other day and said 50 Cent's irrelevant right now. He's trying to gain some sort of relevancy. He said, you know, I think I'll just focus on making hit records.
Look, ultimately, isn't that what they're all supposed to do anyway? The truth is, I mean, look, everyone generates themselves in some capacity to be better or something. And look, if you can latch on to somebody else to promote yourselves, look, Kanye did the same thing, didn't he? They had the same beef. So, look, they all do it in some way. Everyone either tries to do one or two things. They either try to make themselves relevant or they try to reinvent themselves. And there is a big difference between the two. You know, most people who try to make themselves relevant are seeing a sense of desperation. Those who are trying to reinvent themselves usually make and take the time to make it done right. And that's
how it's sad because, I mean, that first record of 50, that was probably one of honestly, I'll praise it. It's one of the greatest hip hop albums from track one to the end.
Yeah, what's interesting, in particularly in 50 Cent's case, I mean, you know, it's so hard to top the best of what you did. And, you know, and when you said that immediately, I thought about Michael Jackson after his album Thriller. You know, people expected more and more. And it's difficult once you do the all-important follow-up. I mean, it's the one thing that really makes or breaks you.
Right.
People think it's the best one you did. It's really not the best one. It's what you do afterward. That's what gets you to the next level.
So, 50, I'm going to need you to stop with the beef and focus in the studio.
Yeah, focus in the studio, please.
So, Beyonce, I've been drinking watermelon. Okay, everyone has been wondering what the hell watermelon is.
So many different connotations.
Yes. So many. I do not agree with the main one that has gone around.
Exactly.
I do not think Beyonce is talking about that.
Do you think she did that for controversy?
Yeah. Well, now it's funny because, okay, I thought watermelon, because, you know, the kids these days are drinking the scissorp and they're putting the watermelon jolly. That's what I thought. She's from Houston and that's where it started. And I thought, oh, all right, Beyonce would be drinking lean. That's weird. But, okay.
You know what's interesting? Back in the days, people would make songs that, even they would have been controversial today.
Yeah.
So many different songs. But if someone had have done this 15 or 20 years ago, no one would have thought a thing about it.
No.
Somehow or another, you know, they latch on to the very little thing that somehow or another. And basically by doing that, you know what you do? You just make the song bigger.
Yeah.
Probably helping her more than anything else.
So, okay. So then we all know the second one is the seeds of Jay-Z is what they are referring to. But this company called Watermelon has come out, WTRMLN, Watermelon Water, has come out and said, no, 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 no. Beyonce is talking about us. Because I didn't know this, but so watermelon has created a juice. It's a cold-pressed watermelon juice made from melon's flesh and rind with additional lemon. No water or sugar added. It's twice the potassium of banana, a good source of vitamin A, magnesium, and contains only 60 calories. But the thing about it is it increases your libido.
I'd drink that.
Do you really?
I would. Oh. Absolutely. I'd drink a lot.
I
drink an 8-pack of that. It works.
So I'm wondering, if all this watermelon controversy, Beyonce just got a sponsorship from watermelon.
Exactly. You know, her
Tom
next
Ford,
tour.
Watermelon.
Exactly. You know, what? Another part of that is that it reminded me of so many things that were done. I remember the Timex Social Club when they made Rumors. And, you know, the song went to, you know, number one on the R&B chart and top 10 of in the when it crossed over to the pop charts. But all of a sudden, Timex said, no, no, no. You know, Timex is a watch. Not a group.
Right.
And they had to drop it, you know. But, hey, you know, you catch your 50 moments of fame quickly and you make it work.
Interesting because for Timex to say, wait, we're the powerful ones. And now it's like, no, wait, if we can make Beyonce's lyric work to our
advantage. Exactly. That's what they're doing here. That's exactly what they're doing. And look, it works, you know.
And it cleans the situation up because I was not trying to vision Beyonce drinking anything but this watermelon.
I've been drinking. Maybe that's what she was drinking. Maybe it's a possibility.
There we go.
Yeah. Maybe the libido is how the baby got here in the first place.
Are you a Jimi Hendrix fan?
I am indeed.
All right. Well, Andre 3000 will be playing Jimi Hendrix in the new biopic called Jimmy, All Is By My Side, which will be premiering next Wednesday, March 12th at Austin's Paramount Theater. It was written and directed by John Ridley, and Rolling Stone has released a clip of it, so let's take a look at that.
Are you nervous?
No, of course not.
You excited?
It's still crazy to me. Like, all these acts going to be on stage. Simon and Garfunkel, Otis Redding, Janis Joplin, come on, man.
You?
Yeah. Can you believe that?
Yes, I can.
You want to go?
To Monterey?
Yeah, you should go.
What would your girlfriend have to say about that? And perhaps you wouldn't tell her. Perhaps we just secretly run off together.
She hit Red House. You know, I wrote that for you, right? Could you tell?
Keith wrote Ruby Tuesday for me when we broke things off. Got all these men writing songs to me. And then I go home and I listen to them alone.
Mm.
What is it with you rock and rollers? You can perform for 1,000 people and you can't be honest with one.
Oh, she read him for a
film. Yeah, she did. Wow. That one right there would need a beat or three right there. Then they cut that off right. That leaves you wanting a whole lot more after that.
I can't wait to watch that movie.
What would the answer be to that?
Question, is that Iggy Azalea? Am I bugging? That wasn't Iggy Azalea. Okay, thank you. I felt like you were going to do that too. Thank you so much.
She's the one. She's the hip-hop culturist here. She's.
It did look a little bit like her, right?
Did look like her.
No.
Like her to me.
Never mind. What do I know? I'm excited for it. Now, this is crazy. Due to the Hendrix estate, there will be no Jimi Hendrix music played in the entire video.
And that's really sad. Yeah, and you know, the truth is, actually, first, I want to say kudos to him. Yeah. I mean, he looks the part, and he's playing it really well. I love that. You know, that clip was really something. But here's what's interesting. I mean, everyone wants their grab on something. And, you know, this show, or this movie, I should say, wasn't to be critical. It's being honest. And, you know, a lot of people just can't accept the honesty of what happened 30 or 40 years ago. I mean, I think it was great for him. I'm saddened that they won't use his music, though.
Yeah, because it's like, at the end of the day, it's getting put out there. Why put it out half-assed? Put it out there with, you know, a sound. Put it out there with his music. So, because it will be a legacy, and this will be remembered. And now we're going to remember it to the sounds of the Beatles, the Troggs, and Muddy Waters, which...
All good, but not Jimi Hendrix. Exactly. not Jimi Hendrix. The sad part about that is that they could have been so inclusive in this and could have made this movie their own. Mm-hmm. Instead, it's as though you've put your hands up saying, I want no part of it.
Yep.
Not too smart.
And I mean, with someone like Andre 3000, I think his fan base and just the music industry has been waiting so long for him to do something. I don't think it'll be like a Notorious where, you know, the family didn't want to work with them or, you know... I think that this will be actually a really big video, a movie, and Andre 3000, I think, is going to kind of
be the steamship. Reinvention is everything, and it's kind of what we were saying earlier in the show, when people either want to be relevant or they want to reinvent. This is a reinvention, and, you know, for all intended purposes, music or not, ultimately, a good showing here for him could put him into another level.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's good. I thought about that when I saw Ice Cube, you know, getting an award from the NAACP. Who would have thought that... From 20 years ago when this guy was in a whole different genre.
Are we there yet?
Yeah. Like, but once again, I mean, someone who decided not to, you know, take the shortcut of trying to be relevant, just reinvention.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's smart. I think it's a good idea.
How would you have felt if Andre 3000 had kind of taken the music under his wings and kind of created a sound for the movie?
He would have been unique. And you know what's interesting? I mean, one of the top 10 songs in history was the one in which they did with, you know... It was one of the biggest songs in history.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it was innovative. It was something that was unique. And he could probably have been one of the few people that could have made it his own. I think it would have went great.
Right, without tainting it.
Yeah.
Okay, so this next artist is Joel Compass. We're going to play a video. We always play a video. He has new video out. He just dropped called For Forgive Me. It's a dope song, dope concept. A little Miguel-ish, but it has his own little twist to him.
We like it.
Take the blame, I'll take the shame. Clear the passion from my name. Even if you tried, I'd feel the same. Forgive me while I forget you. 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 Cause I don't need your love. I don't need your love. You might think I do, but I don't need your love. Yeah, it's like.
Love that. That Joel, was tight.
Isn't it?
I love that.
I just came across him the other day on YouTube. I was like, who the hell is this? I heard his other songs, and then I subscribed to him on YouTube, and he just released this. I was like, it was simple, But it gets the message across, but it was powerful. Just that one little drummer in there, too, with the stick.
Right. And not only does it get the message across, the visual is what makes people look. I mean, after all, YouTube is about the number one thing, you looking at the tube.
Right.
And if you can keep people's attention for more than a few minutes on looking at something that's really important to you, you're going somewhere. That concept was great, and the music was good, too. Mm-hmm. I liked it.
I like the way he played with his voice. Because at first, the first three lines is like, oh, man, he's going to be Miguel.
Yeah.
And then
he took it to a whole new level. Like it. Good man.
That's fine. Magic Carpet Ride.
Loving right. the YouTube.
Tyrone, sir, grew up in Ohio.
Cincinnati. One of the greatest cities. You know I'm saying that because you're from Boston. You know.
That's fine.
You know the rivalry.
You're the guest on the show. That's fine.
You're the rivalry. You know that. But yeah, I grew up originally from Cincinnati, Ohio. And I really wasn't sure what direction or purpose when I first came out. I wanted to play minor league baseball. So I started in Sun City, Arizona, and stayed and played ball, you know, for a few years. And then I just made my way and just said, palm trees, California. So I'm going to try and make my way out here.
Was it music in Ohio? I mean, you've traveled so many different places. Every city, every state, you know, they have their kind of genre. For Ohio, what was it like for you growing up? What were you raised on?
Yeah, well, two things. There were two stations there that were major. One was WSAI, who played the pop, you know, music, and WCIN played the R&B. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was a mixture of both. But what really caught my attention was listening to American Top 40 with Casey Kasem. And I would listen to him religiously every single week. But what made him great is that he told a story, and then he told you the date the song, you know, entered the chart when he had a weekly countdown. And I was always, you know, moved by that. And I was a stickler for listening to that every week. You know, he Top 40 was, you know, he'd do 2 hours on Saturday and 2 hours on Sunday. And, you know, I set my watch to listen to him as a teenager, and it was a big deal for me.
And that's kind of something that you've kind of stuck with as far as, you know, talking about the tracks. And why is that so important for you to get across to your listeners?
Well, here's what's amazing about, you know, my show. What makes it, you know, unique is that not only am I telling you the date the song enters the chart, but, you know, it's six different decades of one show. So in other words, you know, like someone told me in London, you know, my mother can listen, my kids can listen, my grandmother can listen, and it brings you back to a time of where you were in your life. If I'm saying, you know, May 17th, 1974, well, you're going to remember that month, that day, that year, or something in some capacity that, you know, attributes a part of your life. And I think that's really important. And I'm not reinventing the wheel by getting old music, just simply looking it up. And I thought that would be a unique concept. It's what we spoke about earlier about being different. And I thought something of that nature would be different. And people gravitate toward that. They love it.
And I want to kind of get the buildup of to how you kind of cultivated the product of Timeless Tracks. You know, one thing that I thought I love that you say, you have you've gotten to where you are because of three F's.
Yeah, one of them, you know, faith, focus, and follow through. You know, I mean, the faith aspect was, you know, being from virtually having nothing. I mean, when we do something, like when you came out here, when I came out here, when we start our dreams in some capacity, we start from nothing. And, you know, it doesn't mean much to others, but it means much more to us. And for me, that meant so much of me trying to hold on to something to make something work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was in a movie a few years ago with somebody when I first came out here, and I couldn't get the lines right. And I remembered that this guy, the director, happened to be a good friend of mine, but he brought this large piece of paper to my trailer, and it was as big as this studio, and it took me 10 minutes to open it up. By the time I opened it up, there was one word in the middle, and it said focus.
Wow.
And I never forgot that. And the key, the other thing for me is always following through. You're as good as your word. And it's a big deal. Mm-hmm. You know, you absolutely have to be on point with everything that you're doing. Without you being able to follow through, and if you're just making excuses, you're just wasting my time.
And you never did.
Yeah.
If you didn't follow through, you never did.
Yeah, you just never did it.
So you go to Ohio, you come to California, culture shock.
Big culture shock.
What were some of the difficulties that you had as far as kind of breaking into the business?
Well, you know, my biggest issue was that I really didn't know what I wanted to do. I think I was all over the place.
Yeah, because you did voiceovers, TV yeah. host,
and,
radio.
And, you know, we always have like breaking moments with people or you know, different things that happen to us. And the one thing that always happened, I've been doing the voiceovers for years. But one day, you know, I was at this convention, or I was with someone who I happened to know, and he was asking me questions. He said, so Tyrone, what do you do? And I said, well, you know, I do voiceovers, I do radio, I'm doing television and stuff. And then he looked at me again, he said, but what do you do? And I was frozen in my tracks because clearly I didn't want to say the same thing again.
Right.
And I thought he was going to save me, but he didn't. But he looked me right in my face and he said, you don't know what you want. He says, but the next time someone asks you that question, you'll have an answer. And I got to say, I mean, that was one of those aha moments where, you know, in my mind, it took me a few days. I mean, I couldn't sleep for a few days because not because he was wrong, but because he was right. Mm. And that made a big, big impression on me. So I said, okay, I can still do all the other things I want to do, but I need to narrow this down by saying that I do something. And then I figured it out and said, I'm going to do the R&B chart. And I had to learn the R&B chart. It wasn't, you know, of course, I listened to Casey Kasem and you know, listen to music all the time. But I had to literally learn. My biggest, I was actually better on the pop chart. I just decided that my niche was going to be the R&B chart because, you know, the music of R&B was something that was fading. And mm-hmm. I said, I can bring this back in this capacity. And that's how I started Timeless Tracks.
So, I mean, with so much success with all of the different careers that you had, why specifically this one? Well, why did you want to focus on this?
Well, for two reasons. The first reason was I knew that this was something that I could do and I knew it well. There was very little that people would be able to say to me about music. You know, when someone said to me, you know, Tyrone, like the guy from Unsung, you know, I was sitting next to the, you know, the executive producer of Unsung, and he asked all these questions. I didn't know who I was sitting next to. Mm-hmm. And when he's asking these questions, these were things that I already knew in my head. He said, you know, did Marvin Gaye have any top 10 songs? I said, we only had two in the 70s. We wanted, you know, and it's just in my head. So I knew that this was something that I could do well. But the second thing was, is that I knew that this may very well be the last chance that I had of being able to make something out of, you know, my career in some sort of way. I dib and dabbed in some things, but I followed through on those things. But the truth was is that I really needed to know that I could do something and finish it and make it happen. And this in my mind was like someone, I had an interview a few weeks ago and I said, I'm doing this like I'm chasing the last bus at 12 o'clock midnight. And that's the way I'm looking at what I'm doing here. And I've dedicated myself to that. And it's working now. But the truth is that it was either this was going to have to work or this was it. And this mm-hmm. was my last shot. This was it for me.
And, you know, one thing that I love about you is that we were kind of talking about this before, but, you know, a lot of people in L.A. are very about them and they want to be the one and not really sharing. And one thing about you is you like to speak to the youth and kind of motivate people and you don't like slackers. And one thing with that is how do you feel when you were told, what do you really do? I mean, did it cause a depression in your life? Did it cause, like, how do you find yourself motivated to keep on keeping on?
That and that's a good question. You know, one of the things that scared me was when he said that, the problem was is that he was absolutely right. And I didn't want to be a wannabe where I was pretending and acting like I had it all together. And we all meet those kind of people mm-hmm. in this business. But I just didn't have the luxury anymore of simply being able to say, I'm doing this and really wasn't doing it the way, you know, it needed to be done. And I just didn't want to keep making excuses anymore. And, you know, the hardest thing for all of us to do is to look within, to be real with yourself. And I think one of my biggest problems was I just didn't want to own it. And I think once I started learning how to own where I was, then I was able to own what I wanted to do. Mm. And that made it a lot easier for me. So now, you know, I don't look in the rearview mirror anymore. Everything I want is in front of me, not behind me. So now I just started saying, this is what I need to do. Here's what it's going to take. And I mean, when I first started this show, I mean, for God's sakes, I was converting cassette tapes into CDs. And, you know, that's how I really started the show because I didn't have a lot of music. I clearly didn't have a lot of money then, but it meant that much to me that I was willing to do everything that it took to make this happen.
Wait, and was it Timeless Tracks or was it when you were in Vegas that you every morning would drive 150 miles?
It was I was going to Barstow. And, you know, it's interesting when you say that. I mean, I was, you know, I'd been sending in my resume to this place at the highway stations in Barstow. That's where the train station is. If you're on your way to Vegas, there's this train station there.
The big thermometer.
The big thermometer, absolutely. So I wanted to go, and I didn't have any experience. So the guy, you know, I kept sending him a resume all the time. So finally, he called me. I go into his place. I go to Barstow. I didn't even know where Barstow was. There's a beach up there. I had no idea. So I get to Barstow. I get to this train station. It's 100 degrees there, and I didn't even have air conditioning. I go into this place, And this guy said, well, I know you've been trying to get in here for the last 6 years. He pulls out all this stuff that I'd given him. And then he said, so why should we hire you? And I said, look, the truth is that if I've given you 6 years worth of resumes and trying to get in here, he said, but you don't have any experience. He said, and I said, well, look, I just need a chance. I'll do the rest for you. He says, oh, I'll give you a chance. He said, I'm going to give you the worst time and the worst pay. And he said, I'm going to let you start in a couple of days. You're going to work from midnight to six and you'll be, you know. And then he said, he did this to me and he said, turn around. I turned around. There was a bunch of people that were behind me and they had their fingers up with three. And I said, what does that mean? He said, that's how long they're giving you before you won't make it here.
Wow.
And it was a turning point for me because I remember at that point I was married and I went home and I remember going home. And at that point, I remember speaking to my then wife and telling her about me having this interview. But it was something that she said that totally turned the corner for me. She said, I hate to tell you this, but you're not going to get that job. And that was all I needed. So I called that guy up and said,
faith, focus, follow.
I said, I'll take the job. He said, it's minimum wage. I went, it doesn't matter. I got it. Kept my mouth shut and said, I'm going to work on this for the next 6 months. I got two projects. I'm going to be number one in that time slot there, and I'll get rid of her. And I just, and I did it. I'm just you both, you're out of here. That's what I did, you know.
There's a fourth F in there that, for that, y'all, that, too.
Yeah, yeah, which I don't want to say over here. I don't want to say it. That one I can say when we're not on the air. But, yeah, but those were my main two things. And then that was it. And sometimes, you know, it's what people say mm-hmm. or incidents that happen or things, you know, incidents in our lives that happen that makes us something different. But when that happened, I got it. And I never let that happen. And every year, for those 6 years, on that anniversary, I would always call the program director. Guess what? I'm still here. I'm on the air. On the air. He says, I got it, man. I got you. It was work. But, you know, what happened is, like many radio stations, you know, advertising left. And I decided, you know, I said, I think I want to start my own show. He said, okay. And the next week, they terminated everybody else from the station. And I was like, now I got no choice. Now I've got to make this work. Mm. And so I started it, and it went really well. And then, you know, the cancer thing came up, and it just, you know, it made it. It was another dramatic change for me that, you know, made me put my foot on the gas and make this dream come true.
And you know, with so many, I don't want to say struggles, but with so many obstacles on this road, you know, what's kind of the one that you look at, you know, it could be one of the ones that we've talked about, or what's kind of the one where you realize, you know what, I just cannot have that mentality anymore.
Well, I think one of my friends had one of their parents was dying of cancer at the time. And they said, have you ever had a colon cancer checkup? And I said, no, I'm fit. I mean, there's nothing wrong with me. Well, I really think you need to go get one. And I said, I'm not going to worry about that. And my daughter was, you know, kept egging me on, saying, look, you need to get a checkup. You know, Dad, stuff's going on. Let me just go get this checkup. Sure enough, I had cancer. And I remember looking at the doctor, and I said, I don't understand. I mean, you know, I work out. And then he did just like this. And I said, what does that mean? He went, that's about how long you've got before I'm not going to be able to help you. Wow. So we've got to do this right away. And I remember that whole scenario and how important that was to me. But I just said, if I live through this, that's it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter who's here. It doesn't matter who's not around. I don't care. I'm going to live like I'm dying. And that's what I started doing. And ever since then, I mean, you know, months later, I met the guy from Unsung who gave me, you know, an opportunity of a lifetime to be on television. And I mean, things are really good. You know, that's been my goal. And I won't ever allow myself the opportunity to say that I can't do anything again. And that's been one of the reasons why one of the things I quit was high school. And I'm in high school right now. I went back to school. And the lady told me the other day, she said, well, you know, you can do this GED test and you can get this all over. I went, no, I'm just going to do this the right way. I'm going to finish it. You know, I tell people not to quit all the time. And then I felt like I was contradicting myself going, how can I tell people that? And, you know, I didn't finish high school. So I said, I need to go back and get this done right. So I went back to high school and I want to get my diploma. So I'm not doing too bad. So far, I'm making B's, got my report card. got some bees. Haven't missed a day yet, but, you know, the day is young. You never know.
Well, one thing that I really want to thank you for is your honesty. I love seeing, you know, hosts, radio hosts, especially because we're there. We're every morning with you. We're every day with you, listening and getting to know you. And so there's some people who kind of just put the act on, but to be able to share your stories and inspiration, I mean, it helps. Someone like me, someone like watching at home who has that dream that's like, you know what, I wasn't going to drive to this interview, but I'm going to. And whenever, so I appreciate you sharing that story.
I respect
that. Because
we
get in our head.
Yeah, I respect that because, you know, one of the things is that I would always find a reason not to do it. And I know that anytime I was thinking that I shouldn't, chances are that means I need to do it. And, you know, for me, this, like I said, this is it for me. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to make this work one way or the other. And it doesn't matter, you know, whoever's upset, then it is what it is. But, you know, all of us, we've all got a dream. You know, when you came from Boston, you had a dream. I had a dream. I wanted to play ball. You know what? It didn't work. But I think the hardest thing for me was learning how to be honest with myself. I think that was the biggest thing for me. And I had to own it. I had to own me, all my shortcomings, all those things. But I stopped putting myself on trial. And for those who, you know, want to be more or do more, you know, you got to stop putting yourself on trial for all the things that you didn't do right. You got to do right by you. And I think once you learn that, nothing else hurts you anymore.
And so, Timeless Tracks, this is your baby.
That's my baby.
This is your baby.
And I don't have to pay any child support for that. Thank you.
Where can we hear Timeless Tracks?
Well, Timeless Tracks is on, you know, right now over 30 radio stations and internet stations as well. I mean, you can look for us on timelesstracks.com. You know, I have a Timeless Tracks page on Facebook as well. And from Cincinnati, my hometown, I've gotten there twice, which is good. And we're all over the world now and, you know, on different radio stations now in Aruba, London, Spain, and Greece. We're doing well there.
Worldwide.
Some of the worldwide. We are worldwide. It's amazing. You know, some people will hit me up on Facebook or they'll leave me a message and say, you know, Tylenol, we love you so much. I'm like, oh, boy. I'm like, okay, it's Tyrone.
Tylenol.
Okay. Thank you very much.
That's fine.
But it's good. You know, we're in 22 cities here in, you know, in the United States, including Austin, Texas, Sacramento, California, Las Vegas. We're doing really well there. But all of these was me saying, give me a chance, give me a chance, give me a chance. And you know what? For everyone who said yes, they've never regretted it.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, on top of it, you're doing something that is just not being done right now. You're bringing R&B back. You're allowing a generation who does not understand that this music was here or why people are like, Beyonce ain't all that.
Yeah, you know what's amazing is that.
And I love Beyonce, I'm just saying.
You know what's amazing? A lot of the people who use their music nowadays don't realize that that music came from the very R&B songs that are here. You know,
last year.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people will do that. They'll talk about, you know, well, that music. My son was listening to something. I go, well, you know, that was this song in 1974, you know, and all of that. But it's interesting. But music always has a way of coming back around. And the hope is that, you know, groups will come back around. Mm-hmm. You know, groups are a big part of our American, our culture.
So, I know, you know, you give us these little stories on the show. And so, off the top of your head, what's a song that kind of really stands out to you because of the story behind it?
Well, here's something that's interesting. End of the Road by Boyz II Men was one of the biggest songs in history. I think it was either number two or it's either number one or two. But what's interesting is it stayed at number one for 14 weeks, and so did One Sweet Day by Mariah Carey and Boyz II Men. But the song by, you know, Boyz II Men probably would have stayed 15 weeks, but there was a song by a group called The Heights called, you know, How Do You Talk to an Angel? And knocked it off.
Really?
Yeah, on the pop chart. You know, it's interesting how, you know, music has a way. You know, for me, I would always look at the charts. What's next? What's number one? Wow, that song's number one. This is why Casey Kasem was so important to me. And I finally had a chance to meet him. And Mr. Kasem, you know, my name's Tyrone Dubois. I saw him in this place. I'm Tyrone Dubois. I do this show. It's called Timeless Tracks. And, you know, I'd love to send you a copy of it. Can I show you, you know, what the show's all about? I'm not going to listen to it. I said, that's okay. I said, I'm going to be just like you. I said, you're the reason why I got into radio. So this guy that was behind him gives me a card and said, send it to him. He'll listen. So I send it to him. 2 weeks later, I get this phone call. Is this Tyrone? And, you know, his voice, Casey Kasem's voice was absolutely unmistakable. I went, yes, this is Casey Kasem. Didn't I tell you not to send me that show? And I went, oh, boy. Yes, sir. Yeah, I said, look, the truth is, I didn't even rat the guys. The truth is, I was a little overzealous. I said, I'm a little sorry. I said, I'm sorry. I said, look, I was just excited. I got a chance to see you, my idol, you know, and I listened to you, you know, in Cincinnati. Next thing out of his mouth. Now I got to show you how to do it right. Huh. And I was like, whew, thank God. And so he taught me a lot. You know, he helped me in some capacity. And it was big. You know, your mentor, somebody who, you know, you listened to all your life, you know, and was a big part of the reason why you did what you did. And getting an opportunity to meet him was probably one of the biggest thrills of my life. It was big.
Wow. I mean, I just can't with your life.
Believe me, I still buy Arco gas like everybody else around here. Please, I mean, nothing's changed. But you know, the one thing I think I've learned is survival. You have to learn to survive, and you got to live. And I think that was probably one of my biggest. I think it was probably my biggest challenge, not living. I think in some capacity, I let life live me. I think the cancer surgery, though, changed my course of how I looked at life and my direction of what I wanted to do. And, you know, we all have life-changing moments. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what it is, but, you know, life-changing moments are the one things that get us to the next level of our lives, no matter what it is, whether it's, you know, a job, a new car, whatever it is. But something always gets us to the next level. And that was a big deal for me. I needed that. Didn't know it at the time, but when we all find our life-changing moment, we realized we needed it.
And it's funny because the through line is music.
Yeah, absolutely. No matter what it is. No matter what it is. I mean, when you're listening, whether you're at home, whether you're in a grocery store, whether you're in a doctor's office, wherever you are, music somehow or another will always get you through it or get you to it. And there's no way around it.
And earlier we were talking about different, you know, in order you need to reinvent yourself versus
being relevant.
Being relevant.
Yeah.
Well, there's this girl named Jenny on YouTube. You know about her.
I know about Jenny.
She has a song called Wildfire, where she produces the track and, like, manipulates it with her mouth, and it's crazy. Let's just take a look at this video. Definitely reinventing music here. Jenny, wow.
And that girl's, I mean,
it's crazy.
But you know what's interesting? And when I'm watching this, I'm looking at this and I'm looking at this woman wanted this so bad that she was willing every single component of what you see there. It meant that much for her to do
yep.
all of that from the microphone to the stand to the popper to everything that she's got there. This meant that much to her. And you know what's different? When I saw that instantly, I remember her, you know, her getting this together. But success for me, for you, and for everybody is willing to do what everybody else won't. And you know what? She was willing to do what everybody else wouldn't do. That meant that much to her.
And, you know, it's funny because I thought the same thing watching this. I was like, this girl, like, just the water bottle sitting there.
Simplicity.
Empty walls. I'm like,
yeah,
she don't care about the visual. All she cares about is, I want y'all to see this. I spent, instead of spending money on paint, instead of spending money on a nice bed, I spent my money on a microphone, a piano, and I'm going to make music.
You know, I mean, she literally wanted you to see that. She's looking at it over here. I mean, she's touching everything. She's letting you see every component of everything that she did. And this is what made her different. So she wasn't trying to be relevant. She invented herself, and that's what she was doing. And that's what YouTube has done for a lot of people, actually. Yeah. Done for a lot of people.
And the industry is so bad at it.
Yes.
But that's fine.
Look, you know, because they can't regulate
it. Yeah.
Exactly. And it's free.
Yeah.
And this is what people do. This is how people are invented. And, you know, I mean, it's a large part of who we are now. And I'm actually in awe of people who do this kind of thing. It's these things that motivate others to do things. You were mentioning about making, you know, the band, how Day 26 had started. But I remember the first group that came.
Oh, O-Town?
And you know what? It was one of my motivations of starting in radio. When I saw that, I remembered. And I remember when it first started, when it said that these are five different guys from different places. It says they're going to become superstars. These were five people that came from all parts of different parts of the country. And I would watch that show religiously, watching five guys who wanted it badder than anybody else. And I said, they're willing to do whatever it takes. They wanted to do it. I mean, and look, they had a number one song. They had a number one song in the pop chart, for God's sakes. I mean, and that was when the height of boy bands came. And I mean, it was a big deal. But when we're willing to watch others, if we're motivated by what other people do, we're willing to do it. And these guys, these five kids, were willing to go and do anything it took to make
live
their dream.
Live in a house, be on national television. Yeah.
Well, five strangers. I mean, and they made it work. So I remember watching that show going,
wow.
Who
was the other one? Nicole Scherzinger of Eden's Crush.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, all right, so we got to wrap it up quick, but we have the six mix, which we now turned into the top four because I had to show you guys that video. So
yeah, are you got a crush on that girl? You like that girl?
She's everything.
She's kind of hot, though.
Like, she needs to be...
She needs to come
selling out. Some records right now. like this man, Pharrell Williams dropped his album Girl. Lost Queen is a track off of it that I just had to share with y'all because it's everything.
It's everything.
What planet are you from, girl? And are there others like you there? And could you do that magic trick again? Popping up from nowhere. Though my planet's full of warfare. You make it feel like a dream. Man, I hope they never find you.
I think you are
Let me serve you. Hot sex and gold shiny things. Let me serve you. Remind you that you are lost queen. I don't have a problem with multitasking. Taking care of you, that's my number one passion. Put it before my eyes.
Pharrell, Lost Queen. Dope.
I mean, only is it dope, I mean, just the fact his song Happy had 6 million views on YouTube. I thought he was actually going to win an Oscar.
Yeah. Just popping on out. Yeah,
pop it on out.
And a 24-hour music video along with it.
Yes,
all right,
indeed.
The next is my friend. He's from New York. His name is Ramon Perio, and his song is called Flash It, and I heard it on his Instagram, and I was like, I mean, are you coming for Trey Songz or what? So
let's,
we're gonna play some of that.
Fly people in the room, put your motherfucking tools in the air.
Shout out to Ramon. He's coming out with some new music.
Ramon,
I'm really
loving
excited
that.
About
that
it.
Was really good. You know, my publicist is over there. She was dancing.
She was dancing.
Charity is not having it.
She's like,
you know,
don't
be doing that over here.
Keep your hands to yourself.
Get down here. You know better than that. How dare you? How dare you even think you know music like that?
Look at her hand on her face. All right, next, Elijah Blake. You guys might have seen the interview we did with him at the BET Awards. Well, he dropped his new album EP. The song's with Common. It's called XOX.
Keep rocking, we gone. Keep rocking, we gone. Keep it rocking, we gone. Keep rocking, we on. Remember things that we do. Yeah, remember things that we do. Remember things that we do. Nobody do it like you.
Yeah, it's been a while since you came around. I really miss your smile. Hey. Simple as it seems, it's only black and white. Without you in my life.
Elijah Blake featuring Common, XOX.
Love that. Tell you one thing about Common. I actually know him, and he is probably one of the most classiest people I've ever met in my life.
Really?
Just an absolute class act. So when you said that, immediately I went back to, you know, the things that make people different. There's a lot different about him. He's probably one of the classiest people I've ever met. Great guy, Common.
And he's going to be, he's going to be the first, he's going to be a superhero.
Yeah.
Coming up next year, I believe.
Women are going to love that.
Mm-hmm. And Elijah Blake, I mean, if you don't recognize the face, he's written probably your favorite songs. I mean, from Rihanna to Beyonce, the guy's all over the place.
He breaks out. He breaks out on his own. Mm-hmm. Good for him.
Next, final, Kid Cudi, Too Bad I Have to Destroy You, of his new album. Let's take a listen.
People talk shit about me, deep down they know they ain't right. When I walk in a room, they can't look in my eyes. When I walk in a room, they can't look in my eyes. People talk shit about me, and they know they know, and they also know and they ain't right.
He ain't playing.
No, he's
not.
Here
we go. You can't talk.
And wait till that beat drops.
Okay.
Y'all gotta check it out. It's Satellite Flight, Journey to Mother Moon, Kid Cudi on iTunes, Pharrell Girl on iTunes. As far as Elijah Blake and Ramon, y'all can get them for free. They're giving you their music for free. Tyrone, Timeless Tracks. Again, where can we hear you?
My website is www.timeless.com. You can reach me on Facebook, and you can also give me a Twitter at Timeless Tracks. Honored to have you, and appreciate it.
Thank you for coming in.
Thank you. Honor's mine. Thank you so much.
I love the conversation.
Me too. Loved it. Loved being here.
And make sure you guys hit us up during the week at BHL Online. Also hit me up at The Beat TV on Instagram. You guys can tweet me at DJ Jesse J. Until next week, same time, same place. Peace.
From producers Maria Menounos, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, Kevin Undergaro, and the entire BHL crew, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us at info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I'm your BHL announcer, Scipio. Instagram me at Planet Scipio. Thank you for tuning in.
Music redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.